Hello, everyone, and welcome to the new Mission Career Transition Podcast. Today, our guest is Edith Lizalde. She is a super military spouse. She's also a prior enlisted sailor, and she's getting ready for her husband to retire out of the Marine Corps. This episode is packed with information that's not only beneficial to the service member who's transitioning or retiring and has a family, but I think it's also beneficial for the spouses as well. I learned a lot. I found out just how ignorant I was in certain matters that pertain to military spouses. Plus, she gives some great information about resources that could benefit our military spouses. There's lots to learn, so stay tuned. Edith Lizalde, welcome to the podcast.
Good evening. Happy to be here.
Hi.
We're going to dedicate this to all the military spouses that support us through our military career. And no pressure. We're just here to try and understand your experience, Edith. But before we get into some of those details, let's start off with the basics. Here's a softball. Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Wheaton, Maryland, right outside of D.C.
Okay. And you joined the Navy. And what was that genesis or that Navy story like of recruitment and career?
I did. I enlisted in the Navy right before I graduated high school. Okay. It was a calling to the fact that I didn't have any money for college. I was called and compelled to enlist. I was a part of that generation, though, that, you know, watched 9/11 in a classroom. We watched it in our senior classroom. So it was really impactful. And, you know, everything that happened within the next 2 years, right, kind of culminated into a very obvious decision for me, where it was, hey, I am a first generation immigrant. So we were fresh here. And it was an easy decision. It absolutely was. It was, I need money and we're at war, right? Let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember being inspired by that as well. I think a lot of us were.
Absolutely.
I was packing for a camping trip. I stopped packing for the camping trip. So what I know, you had a how long did you spend in the Navy? I don't want to say it's brief. I mean, any brief doesn't do the service that you provided justice. Where were you stationed and what were you doing?
I was stationed here in Norfolk, aboard the USS Iwo Jima. It was her maiden deployment.
Oh,
with
nice.
The 26th MEU. And I did one enlistment and 90% of it was aboard the Iwo Jima. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's awesome.
He was home. Yeah.
So when did you meet your husband, the soon-to-be retired Master Gunnery Sergeant Lizalde?
I met him in the galley of the USS Iwo Jima.
That's the social circle right there.
A love story. yep. Met him over some pie, over some dinner.
Hey, that's not bad. That's not a bad story. Yeah.
What type of pie? Pecan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the good stuff. There you go.
Let me write that down.
It's nothing like 9 months at sea, right? It's pie and a boyfriend. That's a good deal.
And what's the makeup of your family right now? So you have... Yeah, Master Gunnery Sergeant of Marines that's on active duty, soon to be retired. Who else is part of your clan?
We have an 18-year-old son, straight up adult. Don't know how that happened. And we have a 13-year-old daughter.
Okay.
And two very loud miniature dachshunds.
Okay. Well, if they bark, they're welcome. I'm dog sitting one right now. He's at my lap. At my feet, really. So he doesn't make sound, but he might pop his head into the screen. All right, great. Well, tell us a little bit about your transition story. So what was the, when did you decide to transition from the Navy? Did you always intend to do just one enlistment or, what were the considerations?
I did always intend to do one enlistment. I was pretty dead set on paying for college, really.
Okay. Yeah.
I didn't grow up, I don't like saying I grew up poor. We were blessed, really. My mom worked her butt off to provide for us, and we did okay for ourselves, but I certainly didn't have cash money hanging around, to pay for tuition. So it meant a lot to me to be able to do that on my own with my service, right? So it was always in the plan to do one enlistment, fulfill my obligation, and use my job to go to school. Initially, I had my heart set on being a teacher, and I really, really wanted to fulfill that dream. And what I didn't plan on was meeting anybody, right?
Yeah.
That one. That's the one I didn't plan on, and turned out to be, one of the best decisions ever. So.
Well, that's great. So maybe that was also an emerging, maybe primary decision, but that's certainly a good reason too. How did your time in the Navy, particularly being, I think you were a personnel specialist,
yep,
if I have that right, like how did it help prepare you for the myriad of careers and life challenges that you've overcome up to now?
When I first enlisted, we weren't called personnel specialists. We were personnelmen. That job, that rate got morphed as I went on, as time went on. They morphed the disbursement clerks and the personnelmen into one. Things got tight in the Navy there for a while too. They were making a lot of cutbacks and sort of decentralizing our role, right? So we started off in ships, and now I think all the personnel specialists I know at least function from a decentralized point away from the ships. Not that they still go on them, but it's a very, very different Navy from the one I served in. They're a lot smarter about some things too, right? Online records, that kind of stuff. We did paper records. Everything was on paper. But the tools I walked away with were absolutely invaluable. Nothing like being 18. And I think I went from learning how to drive to, staring down like a 50 cal mount, right? Out to sea in the middle of the Atlantic. So
yes. You
grow up really, really quick. And you, I think, recognize just what really matters, right? Super fast. If you didn't know that before, at least I didn't. Had a real good wake up call.
Oh, that's great.
But I learned discipline. As far as my job was concerned, I think just a detail oriented individual is who you want as a personnel specialist. And that's who I was. And if anything, it just reinforced that. And those skills have carried me very far. Yeah. From the time I was 18 to I'm turning 40 this year. And I mean, I still organize. I still file the same way, right? It still does the same thing to my brain where I'm like, everything alphabetized. Yes. Color coordinated things. They do good things. And that was my job there. And funny enough, it's my job now. So
that's good. That's good. Well, and then I think whenever you do turn 40, you'll have the obligated back throw out, one of the joints will start to ache more than the rest. Were you married before you got out of the Navy, or did you get married shortly thereafter?
I was.
Okay.
So we got married. We were 19 and 21. Okay. Don't recommend that to people at all.
It worked for you.
It did. Thankfully it did. But we have an 18-year-old now, and I'm like, he'd be crazy.
Oh yeah.
We get married at 19. That's nuts. But there we were, right?
Yeah. Was there anything that caught you off guard when you transitioned? You're married, you get out of the Navy. What kind of any curveballs?
Everything.
Yeah.
Everything was a curveball.
Tell me more.
Everything was a curveball. Luckily, the job I had in the Navy, right, we helped service members transition. Mm-hmm. Separated service members. We retired service members. Promoted. We did everything administrative for them. That has been such a blessing in disguise. You know, it's different when it's like a pile of transfers waiting for you, right? After a long weekend, and you're staring down them like, this is a lot of work. Yikes, right? As opposed to it being your own, and you know what a PCS checklist entails, right? You know exactly what the overseas requirements are, and you're like, oh, I have to go get this passport now, right?
Yeah.
Real different when it's you carrying that out as opposed to you just being the person filing those records. Yeah.
Hmm. And then you get out and you're on the outside, and any other curveballs or things that you didn't expect?
Just everything about the Marine Corps, really. I mean,
yeah, that's right. Because you've gone from Navy and now you're part of a Marine Corps family, and that's probably got a slightly different flavor on PCS assignments and all the sort of things, right?
Yeah, it was night and day. Absolutely. A lot of the lingo carries, right? The terminology carries. And like I said, all of that was a blessing, but there was mostly everything was just, I mean, it's funny what you forget too, because you blocked out a lot of that.
So I troll everybody's LinkedIn profile and just kind of looking at the range of experiences. I mean, you've done quite a myriad of different things getting out from just being still going into HR and then private tutoring. I know you worked for a riveting company, it looks like, and you can correct me. Is that accurate?
R Riveter. It's Rosie R. Riveter.
Rosie Riveter.
They are an Army spouse founded company. They employ military spouses. It's all remote work. And they were on Shark Tank. They are a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Wait. Now I'm curious. Tell me more. What did you do with them?
I was a riveter. I was, for a while there, I was the only Marine Corps spouse riveter. So I made hundreds and hundreds of the linings that go inside the handbags. And these are nice, and they're high-end quality canvas and sometimes uniform material. We do make custom bags as well. I worked with them for almost 3 years.
Okay.
While I finished my undergrad. It's
okay. So they produce. Okay. Now I'm really curious. So what does the company do? They produce handbags
and accessories. Yeah.
Okay. And they have military spouses. They outsource the production of various components of those bags.
Yep.
Huh.
Yep. And then everything gets sent to, I believe, their warehouse in Florida. When I was working for them, everything was out of North Carolina, the Army base in Bragg, I believe. And I had a chance to meet the founders, meet the owners, and go to the flagship store, meet everybody that I worked with, right?
Uh-huh.
Such a fantastic opportunity.
Wow, that's great. I mean, you've done that. You've got high school Spanish teacher, executive assistant, which is what you're currently doing, a remote executive assistant job. I mean, lots of things. And I know we could probably spend a lot of time on all of them, but generally speaking, I mean, I have a few questions. Like, as you know, coming out of the Navy and then trying to, you know, being a military spouse, relocating numerous times, I mean, there are certainly constraints that you had to cope with. Maybe you could identify some of those constraints that you had to cope with while trying to find employment.
Childcare.
Yeah.
It always comes back to childcare. And the funny thing is, you know, you mentioned the different things on my LinkedIn profile. It's kind of all over the place. But you could pull, I don't know, hundreds of military spouses. Let me tell you, those resumes are going to be miles long. Yeah. Because if we're good at anything, it's having to consistently reinvent yourself every 36 months, right?
Yeah.
I can't do that job here, right? pivot, find something else. And you never know what's going to turn into employment. So one of the big takeaways is that at every duty station, I did manage to find a solid group of like-minded individuals, right? Good friends, fantastic mentors that always encouraged me to volunteer, involve your kids, and pave your way, right? It's every duty station is what you make of it. So despite mine being, you know, all over the place, I think a lot of spouses are in that same boat. But childcare, when my kids were younger, was certainly at the forefront.
Yeah. So that I'm guessing that that's probably consistent across the board. Number one thing is childcare. So how do you tackle some of that? I mean, I know sometimes it's on base, but then there's a wait list, and then there's that gap where you're trying to find a job that's like, most of them are going to be, I don't know, 8 to 5, 8 to 4. And well, yeah, that works for the, maybe it works for the child drop off. It doesn't work for the child pickup. I mean, are those like some of the problems that you encountered? And if so, how do you overcome that?
You know, sometimes it's not even that it works at one end and it doesn't work on the other, right? Sometimes it just doesn't work for the child too. Mm. It doesn't work. Mm. Both of our children, when they were younger, were medically fragile. I mean, both of our children are part of the Exceptional Family Member Program. They both had extensive medical needs when they were younger. So not only was childcare at the forefront of what I needed to work full time and to further my own career, it just wasn't an option for them, right? Okay. They have special considerations. Our son, I mean, he had cancer from the time he was 2 to almost 6 years old, right? There was no child. I had family now come out and help me, and thank God for them, right? But a lot of it was what we made the most of, and just different opportunities that I took that would still allow me to either work from home when it wasn't a thing, right? When it wasn't very common, or opportunities like a Riveter that was made for us. Yeah. Someone said, hey, there is a space here, and these spouses are willing to work and they're certainly talented. Let's give them the space to do that. And I know many, many a woman. I mean, when I started with our Riveter, we were maybe 100 spouses. They're up to several hundred at this point.
Oh, wow.
So it's about giving us the space, right? Give them the space. They'll come. They'll absolutely come, and they'll show up and show out, because that company has year over year grown in profit and in success. So I'm super happy for them. I don't sew for them anymore in that I don't have the time, right?
Yeah.
There isn't any more time, but thankfully the friendships that I made through there have, again, helped me in the mentorships. Absolutely.
I think there are a lot of people that, you know, have told me as I'm preparing for my transition, you know, really understand what it is that you want to do and who you are, and let that somewhat be the guide of where you end up becoming employed or where you search for employment and starting a next career. But I think there's also some pragmatism that has to go into it. And I'm only speaking from my limited perspective, but if you had a Venn diagram, I mean, you've got like this one circle that's like, this is what I would love, and this is where my strengths are at, and kind of the industries I'd like to be a part of. And then you've got, well, this other concentric circle, which is, well, these are the needs of my family. And then you probably have a third circle there. It may be just the ability to, you know, the salary, like at some point in time, you know, there's a certain amount of salary that somebody has to accrue, and you're looking for where that intersection of the three concentric circles are. And I only use that as an example, but it sounds a lot like those demands of the family and just trying to meet those needs end up being one of the primary limiting factors if it comes to employment, no doubt. Being the person that runs the family as well while the other spouse is on deployment, I mean, that's a job in and of itself. Does that ring true? Does that sound like an accurate description of maybe some of the challenges that how to frame the challenge of finding employment as a military spouse?
Absolutely. The thing is, there's even more to that too, because there's the social aspect of it, right? Yeah. Where you don't get to be in one place. You know, some of us have to move every 24 months, 36 months, right? Mm-hmm. So you don't even have a lot of that framework that carries us the things that you look forward to, hanging out with friends, going out every now and then, right? Those things are sometimes some of the hardest to accomplish, when in fact, they're the things that you look forward to the most, right? Mm. I always feel for people when they say, you know, finding those friendships as adult is so much harder. Try doing it every 36 months. You just feel like you're going in circles. But thankfully, you know, things like living on base help. But, you know, some people really don't like doing that. But volunteering at your kid's school, volunteering anywhere really, has gotten me to find those mentorships and find the people that have helped me the most, right? And the hard part, at least for me, was asking for help. Asking for help when I really, really needed it, right? Mm. Yeah. It's when you're knee deep in, you know, your own classwork sometimes, and your kid is sick and they're on deployment and the dishwasher broke and the car won't start. And you suddenly Google, you know, how to replace a car battery. So you find yourself YouTubing, right?
Sounds like that's something that you had to do.
It was.
You know, this is how ignorant I am. I never would have thought about on base networking as a means to not only gathering support, but identifying potential employment. I mean, that's just how ignorant I am.
What's funny is that, like, I mean, it's the running joke between spouses too, that, you know, you meet somebody at the playground and it's, you're my kid's new emergency contact at school. Congratulations.
That's right. Hilarious.
Like that's what happens. The first, you know, the first friend you make may be the one that helps you out. You just never know. You absolutely never know.
Yeah. So how do you strike the balance between work and family life? What are the lessons learned there?
I don't. I don't. You know, out of all of your questions, I was like, oh, balance is good. I wanted to be like, great question. I don't know. Because that's what I work at now, where I'm trying to, our children are old enough now that I can take on more work and that I can put my own career first now. And it just so happens to coincide with his transition out of the military, right? Mm-hmm. Where I do get to be in the front seat and drive for a little bit. And that's exciting. But at the same time, it's like, oh, I don't get to make, you know, handcrafted Halloween costumes this year. You get Amazon costumes. Congratulations, right? Find it. Is it Prime? Great. Send it. So there's things that have had to come off, right? There's things that have had to come off my plate. And to me, that's the one that I think just stings every now and then, when I can't do it all. I can't, you know, make every dinner. I can't make every recreational event. I can't make every game. I can't make every special thing that they have, where I did get to be there for the majority when they were little. And now he gets to do some of that. So I can't complain either. And I'm not doing that, but it is something that has been an interesting to observe, where I'm like, oh, I don't get to do it all. Yeah.
You know, I think maybe it's a setup, right? That, like, even the phrase finding balance, I don't know if it's finding balance as much as it is based on where you're at in life. You have a certain priority list and you prioritize and you execute, and the things that don't get done are the ones that are at the bottom of the priority list.
Yep.
Yeah.
And with every season, those priorities change, because when my kids were little, it was all about homemade everything, you know, no food coloring, no preservatives. And that's not who I am now. Right.
Yeah. Okay. So also congratulations, successful marriage, still going strong. So what what are the lessons learned or the takeaways? I mean, any key insights that you've been able to think of before the recording?
Not a one. I mean, just, yeah, we love each other very much. And the one thing we're good at is making each other laugh. Absolutely. Yeah.
There you go.
You know, sometimes if you don't laugh, you'll cry, right? Because things can get sticky.
Yeah.
It can get real bad, right? When you're facing down a 9-month deployment with two little kids, you know, two kids at home, I'm like, I know it's tough for me holding it down. I can't imagine being the one that has to leave, because I separated out of the Navy, right? I couldn't imagine having to leave my kids on deployment. And that's something that he did have to do. So yeah, sometimes if you don't laugh, you know, yeah, you got to remember to take it with the hits. Yeah. Have a chuckle here and there. And I think both of us have a sick sense of humor too.
Oh, I love that.
That's great.
A stiff grin and a good sense of humor.
Dark humor for dark times. There we go. Yep. So I just transition a little bit about your spouse's impending military retirement and just some questions, because you're in the middle of it. I know. How much more time does he have, like, still in the suit?
He's got a month and some change left for his ceremony. So we're really excited about that.
Wow. Yeah, that's
ready
great.
To party.
Yeah. Ready to party. Good. I'm glad you've got at least mentally squared away some space to actually savor and enjoy that. Oh, yeah. But I mean, certainly there are some stressors that come along with, not just for the service member, but also for the family. I mean, what kind of, as service members are preparing to transition and they have families, what kind of stressors should they expect the family to be dealing with during that period of time?
I think some of the stressors are sometimes just around finances, right? Making sure that everything's going to be okay. And just plan a little bit earlier than you think you need to, maybe. But we've had so many good friends just give us, I mean, the most phenomenal advice.
Oh, like, that's great.
Don't do what I did, right? Like, okay. Taking notes and putting it into action. Not to mention just having things to look forward to. Yeah.
That's
just
good.
Making plans, having things to look forward to, and involving the kids too. And our kids have some big opinions about what life outside of the Marine Corps will look like for them. But we tried really hard to make sure that we were settled in a home, right? For the long haul. I didn't want to end up moving them in to each their own, because I know people that are excited to move back to their hometowns or excited to plant roots in a place of their own choice, right? Not somewhere where you get orders to. Our home now just so happens to be pretty cool and we want to stay here. So I think that worked out in our favor. But I know that if I, you know, we had decided to move somewhere else, that we probably, us and the kids would have probably already been there as well, just to pre-plan things. And I am a planner. That's just who I am.
That's great.
It's both a blessing and a curse, because again, super organized and I stress them out with that.
Well, if you're the planner, then you're carrying some of the load, right? Aside from the day-to-day load. So what's that division of labor look like? I mean, your husband's working on his checklist that he got from his admin section, among other things. But how do you strike that balance too? Is there kind of a shared load when it comes to actually preparing for the retirement?
shared load. I mean, other than making sure he knows how to cook.
That's a good one.
Right?
That's good. Mm-hmm.
Like, are there any resources?
You got dinner.
Are there any resources that you or your family are using to prepare for the transition? Things that you thought were helpful or think are helpful?
Yes, he's had a lot of success through, you know, MCCS, all of the programs that they have offered. He's taken every class that he can get his hands on, and some of them have been super, super helpful for him. He has a, like I said, a planner for a wife. So a lot of those classes were non-negotiable in that, hey, I kind of need you to know how to write a resume, right? Like, that's number one. Number two, here's LinkedIn. Let's get on it. Let's figure this out. And again, I love making jokes. I'm like, I love this journey for you. It's so exciting to the civilian world, right? But there are a lot of resources. The ones that he's had a lot of success with are VetJobs. Their sister organization is MillSpouse. They helped me tremendously when it came to writing my own resume and reviewing it. They even did a mock interview with me, which was really cool. Mm-hmm. And they have organized events for spouses around the country as well. They go to different bases. They were here in Norfolk last week, and we got to meet Ashley Gutermouth. She's a comedian. That was so much fun. And I got to make two really good point of contacts when it came to my own work for resources. And again, just things like a mock interview, right? Get those jitters out, practice. And yeah, all of those resources are super, super cool. There are multiple ones too that are dedicated to spouses that speak at length, right? About the childcare issues and about how you can find childcare with organizations that have partnered with the DoD to give subsidies for them to help out cost. I mean, last I checked, I think childcare for an infant was close to $2,000 a month at a daycare center, which is wild, right? Huh. It's like, if you told me when I was a first time mom that, I mean, that was my whole paycheck.
Wow.
Yikes.
So like, how do you grapple with that, right? Just no stone unturned. Try to find as many resources as you can and tap into some of these organizations. One of the cool ones that I found out about at a MillSpouse Fest was 12 Million Plus. And they are a pretty large network of military spouses with a lot of resources at their disposal as well. And they offer counseling and advice on how to get on like flex jobs, how to use LinkedIn, how to get on instant teams as well. And a lot of them are remote work opportunities that are around now. Like I said, yeah, I think just now there's more resources that are better tailored to what spouses need today. Which is different from, I mean, especially when I first became a spouse, is to, you know, fast forward to today.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, like, it seems like, and I haven't been looking at it nearly as hard because I'm not the military spouse, but it seems like recently, within the last 6 years, there's been a very significant focus or uptick in the amount of resources that are available to military spouses. I was going to ask you if that's your perception as well.
Yeah, it really is. I think the resources are a lot more thoughtful now than, say, the base Facebook group, right?
Yeah.
All the gossip goes on at, right? They're very, very tailored to not just professions, but also what your goals are. Do you want to work from home? Do you want a 9-to-5? What field do you work in? What are your resources, right? What are your skills? And not just that, but to identify that skill set. Because when I first contacted mill spouse, they had me, they recommended I take like a strength finders test. It was, the resources are just very, very different. It's mm-hmm. not, it's more than just, hey, here's a job list. Let me know what you qualify for. Right? Mm-hmm. It's let's find your strengths. Let's find your calling, right? Let's see what we can find for you. So it's just, it's really different and better suited to what spouses need today. Absolutely.
That's good. I get the sense that you're really good at being an executive assistant.
Thank you,
Miss Planner.
I hope I am. Fingers.
That's good.
My boss watch this. So I think.
Bonus.
No, it has really come in handy. And again, that's not something I saw myself in even 2 years ago, I think. But after using their resources, it was pretty evident that that's where that skill set was the strongest. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because even in teaching, I don't have licensure. I was a substitute teacher as well for DoDEA for a while there. And that was a good experience in learning what I needed to do still to get licensure, right? Mm-hmm. So if I would like to be a teacher, we might need to be in one state longer than 3 years. That's like the first requirement, right? Yeah. I might need to ensure that I can be here for the school year. So things like that kind of hindered that. And those were just one of the many obstacles outside of childcare, right? Was obtaining licensure and keeping it.
Okay, cool. Hey, sis, do you have any questions?
Yeah, I actually do. So you have this unique opportunity where you were in the military, your husband's in the military, you got out of the military. So you have this knowledge of the lingo that's happening with him. So being a spouse, you already have a kind of a backstory. What advice would you give to spouses that were never in the military, and maybe this is somewhat new to them, and now they have to be moving every 24, 36 months. You know, they are maybe pregnant and now they're going to have a child, maybe, you know, all these things that you experienced. What advice would you give them?
Ask all the questions, mm-hmm. ask, and then keep asking them, because the answers are going to change every like 6 months, right? And then just to seek out those resources, right? So many of them are online. They're not as difficult to find as they were a long time ago, right? I remember when the only resource was your, what is it called? The links mentor, your base representative, yeah. Right? Your command representative. That was like the sole resource that we had. That's not the case anymore. I think there are fantastic online resources that are more than willing to help out, not just in the lingo, but in how you can make the most out of every single duty station and help you be in whatever season, help you succeed at whatever season that you're at. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're going to wrap it up here. I'm going to ask you the same question I ask everybody, but maybe for you, it's slightly different. Normally I ask, you know, what if there are two or three things that you want listeners to remember as they prepare for their own transition, what are they? But I know oftentimes I'm asking individuals that have to recall upon their transition experience. Your transition experience was every 36 months or less, and you're currently in the middle of probably the bigger, another pretty significant transition, the spouse to a service member that's getting ready to retire after serving their country for more than 20 years. From that perspective, if you were talking to another spouse that has their service member getting ready to retire in a year and a half from now, what would you tell them?
Just have each other's backs. Yeah, just have each other's backs. I have had the pleasure of having so many friends help me out and come before me, right? And they have shown me the way. That's it. I couldn't have accomplished anything without the group of friends, the group of amazing mentors that I've had. You know, I say friends, no, they were absolutely my mentors. And I've met some phenomenal women and men that have all been spouses that have kindly shared that information with me. And I don't think that I could have, I don't think I'd be standing here for sure, having so many success, right? Looking back and being like, oh, wow, that was really cool. You know, just a couple of days ago, we were pulling out some of the items to put in a shadow box, which is a cool thing to do, right? And be like, wow, 24 years worth of, you know, things to represent that. And at every duty station, you know, as we pick up every coin, as we pick up every badge, it's like, oh, you know, the memories from each one come back. And the things that stand out the most are the good. Absolutely. And I've had so many fantastic friends and mentors that are military spouses of the year. I'm talking like military wide, nationwide, base wide. They're phenomenal, just absolutely amazing women that give and give and give back to their communities. And now that we're settled here, here I am like, how can I give back? Right. Mm-hmm. So I work on the board of the Civic League here for our neighborhood. And that has, I mean, that's like a whole new world where it's like, oh, local government. What a novel idea, right? Like I get to live in one place long enough to feel like I can belong. And I have this amazing set of skill set now that I've picked up for the 24 year, you know, period where here I am, like, where else would, I don't know, bookkeeping for, you know, local Cub Scouts come in handy? Oh, here I am doing it every day, right? So yeah, just don't take any of those skill sets for granted. Find your mentors because they're out there and they're more than willing to help you. Absolutely.
Well, thank you for that. I'm probably going to be calling you somebody that's had to do numerous job searches on time, on target, and handle childcare issues. I probably will float a couple of questions your way. Let's say we've got listeners that want to do the exact same thing. How can people get in touch with you?
On my LinkedIn. I am Edith Lizalda on LinkedIn.com.
Okay. We'll make sure we get it in the episode notes. Edith, thank you so much for your time. It's been insightful. I certainly learned quite a few things just through this conversation. So thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Okay. We'll be in touch. And Edith has left the virtual studio. Sis, thoughts?
What a great conversation. It's really great to talk to somebody that's a spouse, but has also, you know, all this experience in the background of, you know, her being in the Navy and then meeting her husband and her husband's in the military. And it's great to actually speak to somebody that has that, that background and, you know, talk about. Every time I'm listening, I put down code words of things that I consistently keep hearing and, you know, compromise in everything, being a military spouse of, you know, what can I do that's going to be beneficial for the kids? It's going to be beneficial for my partner. That's going to, you know, not putting herself first. And I know that, you know, a lot of families do that. A lot of parents do that instinctively all the time. But this is it is almost just a main focus every day, all day. And it's kind of amazing. And the childcare, I didn't even think that that was going to be something really difficult. And the fact that, you know, the special needs that her children would have needed, I mean, compromise, compromise, compromise. So no, she was great.
Yeah. I don't feel like I did her justice. I mean, so many other questions that I think they're going to spring up in the back of my mind as I'm doing the post-production on this thing. But a couple of things stood out. Like, first of all, I don't know why I didn't think of the importance of the on-base spouse network just to not only get friends, but also develop a support network and then even get leads for where you're going to be, where you can be employed and volunteer opportunities to just for, if not for personal enrichment, but certainly helping the community. She mentioned 12 million plus. was not even aware of this. Apparently it's a DOD-backed organization. I'll just read it. It says, we can't wait to meet you. With an estimated community size of over 12 million individuals in the military spouse community, active, reserve, and veteran military spouses, it's time our collective power was centralized. We know the power of community. Some days it's survival. I mean, this network is pretty amazing. And it sounds like they give a lot of great information and help facilitate employment for our military spouses. So if you have a military spouse, I don't know. Edith recommended this organization. We'll put it on the episode notes. You might want to check it out. And last, I don't know why I was like staring at her resume and like our Riveter. I don't know what that is, but now I'm looking at the website, Rosie the Riveter. And I'm like,
I'm looking
familiar?
At the website now.
Yeah. And they make these are beautiful products made by military spouses. This is amazing. We'll put this on the episode notes too. As a matter of fact, I think the next time I buy somebody a gift, maybe my girlfriend a gift, she might be listening. I take that back. No, she'll probably get something from the
get
website.
It anyway.
Yeah, we might have to cut that out.
No.
Anyway, no. Anyway, that's it. Hey, thank you very much for listening. If you like what you heard, please consider giving our podcast a 5-star review. You can do 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. You can do it on Spotify. You just got to scroll down a little bit. Just go to the episode site or the our podcast site, and you can give us a 5-star rating if you finish listening to the episode. We're also on YouTube. We'll take a thumbs up, or you could follow us or subscribe to our content. We're committed to providing the best transition information that you can get, because I also need it. So if you're preparing for your own transition, well, know that I'm right there with you. So until next time, stay focused.